Carly Simon was born into what sounds like a charmed life. Her father, Richard, was the co-founder of Simon & Schuster. The family moved in glamorous circles. But then there was the other, which she writes about in her new memoir, Boys in the Trees, which includes sharp vignettes into personalities that include Kris Kristofferson, Mick Jagger, Warren Beatty, James Taylor. But most of all, insights into Carly Simon and her music, including that song. Carly Simon, who has recorded some of the most personal, poetic, and popular songs of our time in a voice that's at once dusky and resonant, joins us now from her home in Martha's Vineyard. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's very nice to be here.
What was it like for you to write about what on the surface sounds like golden days growing up in New York?
You know, the main reason that I wrote the book was because I had kept diaries for a good part of my life, starting really from when I could write, you know, handwrite. And I talked about my sisters and my brother and my mother and father and various people who lived in our apartment building in New York City, which was a 6-story building that my father owned. And there was a lot of charm. There was a lot of charm in just living in a big family compound of a house. And my two uncles who were into jazz lived in the basement, and they were young blokes at the time. And they had, one of them, Uncle Peter, taught me how to play the ukulele and taught me my first songs on the uke, which was a predecessor of the guitar, really.
Yeah. You and your sister Lucy were the Singing Simon Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start singing together?
Well, we started singing together in my junior or senior year of high school, and she was already in college. And she got a guitar first, and she learned some chords, and she came home and taught me the chords on the weekends and holidays when she'd come home. And she wrote a song called Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
Winkin' and blinkin' and nod when I'd sail off on a wooden shoe.
We learned the chords to it from a boy named Davy Good, who lived up on the vineyard, and he taught Lucy some chords and also a strum to play the song. And then Lucy taught me this drum, and we could both sing that one song. And then we learned maybe a couple of others, a Harry Belafonte song, a Judy Collins song, a Terrier song. And also we had a book of folk songs in our house on Martha's Vineyard. And we would just look through that book and just gobble it up. We just were so happy when we learned more than 4 chords.
Winking and winking and an all.
I can't get out of this interview without asking, who did you write about in You're So Vain?
Well, you know, of all the things in the book, that's the one thing I feel most uncomfortable about. I feel as if my answer is a little bit ingenuous. I would say it's not about Warren Beatty, but I can't understand why there's been such intense interest about this over the years, and I don't really want to play into that. To me, it's not an issue. It's a kind of a fun riddle. And I wish that people would get off trying to figure out, because it would be unfair, really, to go into it any further than this. And I hope that people stop talking about it.
May I ask about you and James Taylor?
Yes, sure.
It's because it's very, on the one hand, there are sections you read and he sounds like the dearest person in the world, his drug habit notwithstanding. And then there are times when you don't like him because of what he does to you. Now, we've interviewed him on this show. He's welcome anytime. I liked him. Has he read the book, do you know?
I'm pretty sure he won't read the book. I can't imagine that he would. He certainly hasn't shown very much interest in me post-1980 or something, or 82. It's a little bit confusing to me why a door is closed in such a vehement way. But I think when you get married, it's not a totally free ride. It's not without its unglamorous periods and its fights and its angry noons and silent dawns, or vice versa. And yes, of course he did hurt me, and I'm sure I hurt him too. But I think I had the best of James. I mean, I was so in love with him, not with blinders on. I was in love with him because he is a remarkable man, and he gave me a tremendous amount when he did.
I know nothing stays the same.
If I had to pick a favorite Carly Simon song, it would be Coming Around Again.
Thank you.
That great line, "Don't mind if I fall apart, there's more room in a broken heart."
So don't mind if I fall apart, there's more room in a broken heart.
You know, that's so much a part of life, or certainly a part of my life, is being able to embrace the broken heart, not just cast it off as having no meaning or trying to get rid of it. I think the book gives a very good journey through the way I handled things that were desperately frightening for me. Mm-hmm. I have made that journey. It's as if I'm coming up through the water and having oxygen again. You know, I'm constantly reemerging in my life.
Carly Simon, her memoir, Boys in the Trees. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.